ways in these old and new words. Amen. So, do you remember what you were doing exactly 10 years ago today? I do. 10 years ago, I was walking the Camino de Santiago for the first time. If you're not familiar with the Camino, it's an ancient pilgrimage route in northern Spain that ends at the Cathedral of Santiago de Compostela, which is where, as legend has it, the bones of St. James, the disciple of Jesus, are interred. People have been walking the way, as it is known, for over 1,000 years. Many modern pilgrims, myself included, started their journey in the French town called Saint-Jean-Pierre-de-Port, about 800 kilometers northeast of Santiago. The first day out of Saint-Jean starts with a 20-kilometer grind straight uphill up the Pyrenees Mountains, and then another 5-kilometer knee-crushing descent into a monastery town called Roncesvalles. It's a hard day. It's a really hard day, and most people aren't prepared. They don't know what they've gotten themselves into until that moment. There are many blisters and many sore muscles after that first day. And the thing that becomes very clear very quick is that maybe you haven't made the best decisions about what you've packed in your backpack. There are no rolly suitcases on the Camino. You can't just call Uber if you get tired on the Camino. What you pack, you have to carry on your back. And if you pack too much, if you are too weighed down, you suffer. Your feet and knees, yes, but the burden takes its toll on your emotional well-being as well. Gravity feels cruel when you are carrying too much. What you pack, you must carry. So a pilgrim on the way must make choices about what is important, what is really needed for the journey. We are forced to choose, and there is nowhere to hide from our decisions. After that first day walking up and over the Pyrenees Mountains, there's a table at the hostel where weary pilgrims can discard the things they no longer wish to carry. Clothing and sleeping bags and books and tents and electronics, full bottles of shampoo and conditioner. I don't know why you'd need that, but people carry it. And I'm sure they can have some epic garage sales at that hostel. Mountains of stuff discarded. What we pack, we must carry. So we need to figure out what's really important. We need to make choices about what is needed for the journey and what can be laid down. Go on your way, Jesus tells the 70 disciples. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals. Go into the world, Jesus says, but carry nothing. Do not try to protect yourself with things. Do not seek security. Do not crave social affirmation. Do not demand to be liked or even respected. Go into the world as vulnerable as a child. Go in poverty, fully dependent on the kindness and hospitality of others. Go, he tells his disciples, and carry only the good news and the offer of peace and trust. Trust, he says, that it will work out in good ways. The kingdom of God is near. This passage in Luke's gospel speaks to Jesus' subversive message of simplicity. Subverses because it flies in the face of social convention. It is a critique of the drums and swords of empire and the trappings of institutionalized religion. Carry only the good news and the offer of peace and leave the rest behind. That, Jesus says, that is how the world will be transformed. That is how we will be transformed. The kingdom will come. But if it doesn't come right away, trust that it will. If the people you meet are not yet ready, wipe the dust from your feet and keep going. Don't be weighed down and do not be afraid. The 12th century monk Francis of Assisi is said to have oriented his whole life towards Jesus' call to simplicity. He was known to tell his followers that once you own something, you will want to protect it. And once you protect it, you will want more of it. And when you want more of it, you will never be free from it. Francis came from a wealthy family. Fancy clothes, a proper haircut, food and drink, the accumulation of things. That was his world. But through a series of personal crises and mystical experiences, and through the presence of Jesus Christ in his life, he chose to lay those things down. He left behind that which was empty and harmful and vacuous, and sought the life of the mendicant monk. To be mendicant means to own no property, to gather no wealth, to spend one's time not on the accumulation and the consumption of things, but on caring for others, and caring for the creatures of the earth. And most radically, perhaps, to be mendicant means to be dependent on the charity of others, to be able to give generously of oneself, and to be able to receive graciously from others. Simplicity, that's what Jesus taught, and that's what Francis lived. But for the most part, Christians then and now have failed this core lesson of discipleship. Just 20 years after Francis's death, against his explicit orders, the Franciscan order started building elaborate church complexes in his name. Throughout our history, we have turned away from the spirituality of simplicity. We have entangled with empire and industrialization. Then and now, we carry around the idols of busyness and status. And in so doing, we are complicit in the rise of a culture based in consumerism and consumption, a culture hell-bent on filling every silence with noise, every moment with distraction, every space with stuff. And we go along with it and we participate in it because the mountain of stuff we collect gives us a really good place to hide. We tell ourselves we cannot possibly go out without our bag. We need our sandals and our purse and our phone. We tell ourselves that we cannot be vulnerable. Consumeristic culture is one based in fear and in the entangling of material and emotional baggage. And so along with our stuff, we start carrying cynicism, and we start carrying skepticism and mistrust and bitterness and anger. And once we start carrying these things we do not possess them, they possess us. Once we start carrying these things, we become a slave to their weight. And as St. Francis says, we are no longer free. Consider now these words from the poet Rainer Maria Rilke. How surely gravity's law, strong as an ocean current, it takes hold of even the strongest thing and pulls it towards the heart of the world. Each thing, each stone, blossom, child, is held in place. Only we, in our arrogance, push out beyond what we belong to for some empty freedom. If we surrendered to Earth's intelligence, we could rise up rooted like trees. Instead, we entangle ourselves in knots of our own making and struggle, lonely and confused. So like children, we begin again to learn from the things, because they are in God's heart. They have never left God. This is what the things can teach us: to fall, patiently to trust our own heaviness. Even a bird has to do that before he can learn to fly. Look at the birds of the air, Jesus says. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to the span of your life? The spiritual practice of simplicity in the way of Jesus is about two things. It's about letting go, and it's about trust. The German mystic Meister Eckhart says that spirituality has much more to do with subtraction than addition. It is not about adding more stuff. Buying the latest Richard Rohr book or even walking the Camino will not automatically make you a spiritual person. We don't get to start at the end. We have to carry what we pack. The first step in the spiritual journey is about looking at everything we are carrying and setting that down that which we do not need. There may be pain. There may be trauma. There may be prejudices or unhealthy narratives that we need to set down or transform before we can begin. And this is hard. Harder than we think. Many of us carry our burdens because we do not know of any other way. Maybe we do not know who we would be without them. Maybe we are not yet ready to set them down. Going into the world without our layers of protection is scary, and Jesus knew this. Luke writes, "The Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go." The disciples did not need to go into the world alone. Jesus sent them in pairs. The spiritual journey we are all on is not a solitary one. We are meant to go together. The primary work of the Church of Jesus Christ is that of transformation, the transformation of ourselves, our communities, and our world. To be a partner in the bringing of the kingdom of God and its rule of love and justice, to bring it closer and closer every day. And this core work of transformation is not something we can do alone. We cannot bear that weight by ourselves. So I received a Facebook message the other day from an old high school friend. She has been tracking with interest my journey towards ministry and had some questions. So she wrote me this. "Jason, what made you become a minister? How did this change come about? The nice, preppy boy I remember was not religious. I am fascinated by your transformation and have thought for years to contact you. I would love to hear from you." Preppy and not religious. Generally not words I hear describing myself anymore, so I guess it has been a bit of a transformation. And she's right. I did not grow up in the church. I was not at all religious. And up until 10 years ago, I had never even stepped foot into a church with the intent of worship. I speak often about walking the Camino de Santiago 10 years ago, but I don't often speak about why I did it, why I needed to do it. But I will share with you that I walked the Camino after the breakdown of my first marriage. It was a time in my life where I was lost, broken. My identity, who I thought I was shattered. And what I thought was important had been turned upside down. Maybe you have had similar experiences in your life. But for me, it felt, in a way, like death. I didn't know how to process or to talk about what was happening to me. And while I may have looked normal on the outside, on the inside, anger and resentment and cynicism was piling up and weighing me down. And that scared me. And then one day I heard a radio program about the Camino and how someone had walked it at a transition point in their lives. And then a week later I met someone down at St. Lawrence Market who had just returned from the Camino. And there was something in her eyes, a peace. It was like an invitation from a different reality. At any other point in my life, I likely wouldn't have seen it. I wasn't ready, but I saw it then. And so a few weeks later, I was there. I was in Spain, climbing up and over the Pyrenees Mountains and walking through the plains and forests. There, under the Spanish sun, there was nowhere for me to hide anymore. I was carrying exactly what I had packed. I could see the choices I had made, the idols of busyness and status, my participation in consumeristic culture. I could see that I was not being authentic to who I was. There was nowhere to hide from the sources of my anger and resentment and cynicism. And then, at my most vulnerable, and this is hard to explain, but then I was no longer alone. There in the place where my pain was on full display, at my most vulnerable, the Spirit of Jesus was with me. He was with me, speaking into my heart and telling me, "It's okay. You can set that down now. You don't have to carry that anymore." Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives you. Do not let your heart be troubled, and do not be afraid. The work of transformation requires letting go. It requires dying to all that is false, and it requires trust. Trust that a new life, a resurrected life, is possible. The work of transformation is hard, and it is lifelong, and we cannot do it alone. There on the Camino, and in the months and years after, I started meeting others on the spiritual journey. Those carrying the good news and the invitation to peace out on the streets and here in this church. Fellow pilgrims, others seeking authenticity and deep connection. Others seeking justice and a new way forward beyond superficiality and mindless consumption of things. Others seeking to do the hard inner work of setting down, of letting go, of simplicity. There is a reason Jesus sent the disciples out in pairs. Going into the world with no purse, no bag, no sandals means going into the world to be vulnerable, to be mendicant, to give and to receive and to trust in God, in others, and to trust in ourselves, to trust that because of God's abundant and transformative and self-giving love, we already have enough. We already are enough. Trust. Trust. Even a bird has to do that before she can learn to fly. May it be so for us as well. Amen.
Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. And so let us, as a congregation, exchange peace formally and then informally with neighbors, and then affirm our faith. The words for the